Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You are tuned in to the full count. Let's go!
Tries it left field, absolutely crushed. You don't see that every night.
Welcome to the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by The Weekly Streamer, with hosts Ryan and Koviak and Hunter, the Country Biscuit, Ricks.
I hate all Dodgers. Super Biscuit. Big old Biscuit. Slathered, covered, smothered Biscuit.
What's going on? This is Ryan Antkowiak, host of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by The Weekly Streamer. I've got my boy, the Country Biscuit, Mr. Hunter Rakes, with me as always. We also have Weekly Streamer senior writer, Mr. Ed, the Irish Fingerhut, with us today for his first appearance of the season. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We will begin with some news and notes. We will dig into a new segment featuring our guest. We will get into the Trader's Toolkit. Get into deep thoughts with the Country Biscuit, review the waiver wire report, make some predictions on swing and mistakes, and again, we will close with who's that player. Shame on you if you haven't subscribed to the Weekly Streamer Podcast Network yet, kidding aside, but please subscribe and leave us a rating and review. This helps, guys. I can't say it enough. While you're there, be sure to check out the Prospect Pod. The Hawk dropped a bunch of deep prospect targets this week, most of which were new to me, so be sure to check that out. And finally, consider following us at Weekly Streamer Network on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. If you'd like to join our community and support our work, you can do so by becoming a subscriber on our Patreon page. If you're not familiar with Patreon, it is a platform that allows artists and content creators to share their work for a monthly fee. And for just $5 a month, you can have full access to our minor league write-ups, our top 650 prospect rankings, our top 500 dynasty rankings, first-year player draft rankings, as well as a host of articles. So again, if you like the work we're doing, come on board to Patreon and support our work. Bisky, before we get into news and notes, let me start by connecting with my old chum. Ed, how you doing, my man?
Good. How y'all doing this season, man?
Oh, we're doing really well.
Oh, chum. My old chap. My old mate.
Chum's a word that should get used more often, don't you guys think?
No.
It is more civilized.
I guess I'm a 90s kid, so whenever I hear chum, I just think of the bucket and like SpongeBob. So like
there you go. Ed, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing actually, you know what? I had to leave work early. I had a cold yesterday, one of the summer colds. I don't know. It happens every year around this time, like May, June, July. I just get this really bad summer cold. Last year was actually on the day of my wedding. So.
Oh, wow. We're happy to have you on the show again this year, man. It's fun to have you back.
All good.
Biscuit, how are you, man? How you doing?
Man, oh, man, I am good. We actually, it's been a good week this week. Had no T-ball this week, so it was a tiger-free week. So it was good to get, you know, kind of go more stuff done on baseball. Was able to watch more than I have able to be a Maddox. Watched a couple games, so that was a good time. You know, just getting used to, you know, the world we live in with baseball where everybody's hurt every 5 minutes. So you're going to hear all that in the the news and notes because That's I tried to find non-IL news, and I was like, that's about all there is.
Yeah, that and Adley Rushman's call-up, that's about it.
No, you're right. Facts.
Well, why don't you lead us through if you're ready to roll?
So I feel like the theme of this, you know that REM song, the Everybody Hurts? You're like, everybody's hurt. Yeah, everybody's hurt.
Sometimes.
So, all right, we'll start it off. So, Alex Reyes is shut down for a while due to shoulder soreness. At this point, what's new of Austin Meadows is on the 10-day IL. Brandon Lau is on the IL. Willie Adames has hit the IL. Anthony DeScafalini got moved to the 60-day IL. Tommy La Stella was activated. The Blue Jays optioned Kevin Biggio. That's a big one for people who really thought he was going to make the next step. Didn't happen. Jason Hayward on the IL. Shane Green designated for assignment. As soon as we saw Royce Lewis, he was sent back down. Lance Lynn transferred to the 60-day IL. Lucas Giolito was activated. Eduardo Rodriguez to the IL. Paul Fry got traded to the Orioles. Chris Paddock's having Tommy John. Luis Gill's having Tommy John. The other Yankee, he's having Tommy John as well, the reliever.
Chad Green.
Max Scherzer. Chad Green, yeah. Max Scherzer's out 6 to 8 weeks. Nick Salak got optioned today. That really sucks for me. We saw the promotions of Matthew Liberatore and Nolan Gorman because Tyler O'Neill has gone to the IL. Adley Rutschman with the call-up. And I think that is all I'm trying to get my – I had this written up last night, so I'm trying to get anything that I missed today. Chris Bryant was reactivated. John Means agreed to a 2-year contract, very similar to what we saw with Clevenger when he had Tommy John, kind of that Tommy John 2-year deal. And it looks like the Mets are scouting Tyler Malley and Frankie Montas to help alleviate some of their pitching woes. So I think that's, for the most part, all we've got so far.
I got two more. Okay. Well, one just happened. Steven Matz just left first inning with shoulder soreness. And Bassett was signed to a 1-year extension, but that's to be it's a player option.
Yeah, I forgot about that one because they basically agreed on an arbitration number, but then they gave him a like $19 million mutual option. So I guess if they agree, it's $19 million is what I think it was.
He could win a Cy Young this year and opt out of that shit.
Or he's a Met and he's a Met and he's gonna have TJ at some point.
Yeah, he's not good.
Oh, yeah, they
my heart.
They've had a tough go. Yeah, for those who don't know, we've got two Mets fans in our crew. Ed the Irish is a Mets fan. The Hawk is also a big Mets fan. So a lot of Mets love represented in our crew.
Just be a Reds fan where you never get your hopes up. You just embrace being terrible all the time.
Well, I can appreciate that as a Cubs fan. We had a nice
little window. Stop it. You just won a title. Stop it.
I know, but I'm just saying my whole life we were miserable. You guys had better teams than we did when we were kids.
God. We haven't won a title since, what, 90? I wasn't born the last time the Reds won a title.
I was one last time.
You weren't born in 1990?
I was 91.
Get out of Jesus Christ. Okay.
Am I the baby here?
I think so. Yeah.
35 for me.
All right. Well, I'm glad. We'll stay away from that topic. You're absolutely right. I'm excited that we won a World Series, but man, when I was a kid, they were terrible for basically my entire childhood.
Well, anyway, what on WGN every Saturday afternoon?
So where I'm from, that's the big, yep. That's where, cause like, so I live in Kentucky, where I'm from Kentucky. Where here's the hand. That's how you do it. If you lived here, it just depended on where you got your TVs. Because if you got it from WGN, you got the Cubs. If you got like TBS, you got the Reds. And then you had neither, you got the Braves. So literally I have friend groups. Like those are the three major teams, depending on what. Because the Reds were 2.5 hours from us. Like Cincinnati's a grip. So we're from. So it really just depended on if your parents had money or not and could afford a certain TV station. So...
Well, WGN and TBS were, I think those were national, which is why they have so many fans all over the place. But anyway, well, Awesome. Well, thanks for the news and notes. Awesome to have Ed back this week. Ed has done a lot of great work doing player write-ups throughout the year. Guys he's got his eye on. They're not necessarily going to be the big names that we would all be familiar with. And so, again, a lot of these players might not hit your radar, but anybody that Ed has brought up on Twitter or anywhere else where he's doing his work is really a great add to your team, meant to round out your team. These are, again, diamond in the rough types. So today we will do some bargain shopping in a new segment we're calling Goodwill Hutting.
Welcome to this edition of Goodwill Hutting.
Featuring Ed, the Irish finger puppet. Every session, the Irish helps us find diamonds in the rough.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Beautiful bench players.
Who doesn't love a good bargain?
Wonderful relievers. And other gems.
Cheap, my friends, is good. Welcome to the latest edition of Goodwill Hutting.
So, Ed, is that great? Goodwill, some bargain hunting. Ed, hit us with a handful of players that you have a lot of conviction in, and maybe just talk a little bit about why you happen to like these players and why they might be worth picking up on certain teams.
Well, we'll start with one guy. Yesterday, he pitched actually yesterday in particular, is Jeffrey Springs. Sorry, more proper. 13% owned in Yahoo. He's a guy that a lot of people weren't really high on. I mean, just another Tampa Bay reliever playing analytics. But, I mean, they've really geared him up. He's been stretched out, I believe, seven straight games he's pitched more. So, you started, 0.2 innings, and he's an inning and a half, 2 innings, 3 innings, 4 innings. He almost pitched 6 yesterday, 5.2 innings. Of course, Tampa Bay doesn't want to get anybody successful, so.
Got to keep him cheap.
I think he's going to be a guy for the rotation this year. I mean, you know, without Glasnow there, they can't just go to a two-deep rotation and then just wing it the rest of the time. I mean, they need somebody. He stepped up right now, season 1.32 ERA, and he's just getting more stretched out. I think that he's a guy that you need to – well, he's probably going to be owned this week with waivers process. He's probably going to be one of the top pickups. So this is the last call on the train for him. Next guy, Johnny Cueto, 700 years old. He was actually picked up by the White Sox. Only 9% owned. Went out, did what he did. 6 innings pitched, a few Ks. That's what he is. He has that weird delivery that can get half of your lineup out. If he's not on with it, then he's going to get shelled. But for the most part, he's just one of those pitchers you can stream. Throw in deeper leagues, just throw him on your team as long as he's – well, I mean, his salary doesn't really matter anymore. He was released. His salary mattered last year. He should be cheap. Go grab him. Ian Kennedy, 13% owned. He has, I believe it's 6 or 7 holds and 2 saves. And anytime anybody's hurt in Arizona, he's going to go ahead and get the save. He'll probably end up with a combined save hold of around 35, if I had to guess. And he's just another ageless wonder. Got 2 more here. Willie Castro.
I like that.
Someone that me and Rick were super high on 2 years ago. We loved him. We were both sitting there oh, my God, this guy is going to be the next great hitter, blah, blah, blah. And then he stopped getting consistent playing time, struggled with his batting average, and was demoted. He's only 4% owned right now. Here's the biggest appeal of him. He's hitting .300 right now, but he plays second base, shortstop, and outfield.
And the big thing for Castro that I like, and we brought this up before, is the Tigers struggling has probably been the best thing for him. Because since they're struggling, they're able to give these guys more run because they're not feeling like, you know, we're in the hunt. So them struggling is kind of like, hey, we can give Castro some run now. And I think that's all he needed was more bats. And you and Rick were both on him heavy. And he's really starting to figure it out because he kind of disappointed people last year. And everybody that I know just jumped off. But now he's really starting to pick it back up.
He just didn't get the consistent at bats last year. I mean, they have so many of these players that play every spot. I don't understand It's like they go up through. It's a requirement to play at least two or three positions if you're on the Tigers, I think.
Yeah.
And I do have one more. He's a fantasy darling for about 3 weeks last year. Was I love when I struggle with names because it reminds me of Hunter struggling with names, so I don't feel so bad. Is Cody Poteet, and he's only 3% owned for the Marlins. He's going to be making spot starts like all year long. Don't worry if he gets sent down for like a week to the minors or whatever. He's going to get up and down. He's going to get a start probably every other week. Kind of like I know that you got Hunter hates this guy, and he's sucked this year, unfortunately. But Fleming for Tampa Bay reminds me a little of that. You're going to get like a five-inning start, and then you're going to have him open for like two innings another game, and then come in for a four-inning relief appearance. He's literally doesn't even have an ERA of 1.48 for the season. He's doing really well, and he has, like, I think, 21 innings pitched. I mean,
wow.
You know, there's been opportunities for people to hit him around. 3% owned. He's one of those guys, you just put him in an RP spot, or if you have SP spots, put him in SP and just leave him there all week. You don't even have to touch him. Just leave him, and he's going to get you some help. Not a big K guy, but.
Say his name one more time, will you?
Poteet.
I like how he goes up with the teats.
I'm a big fan of teats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You motorboat son of a bitch.
Well, that's good stuff. What was particularly impressive about that, in my view, Ed, is I've been doing a waiver wire report all season, as you know, and I don't believe you literally listed one person that's been on my list. And as Hunter's brought up, the list is getting more and more difficult because you can't repeat. So those were a lot of really solid names. Springs jumps off the map for me, just seeing what he's done the last few starts. And to your point, now he's being stretched out. So he's got to be rostered at this point.
He's been really surprising. I didn't see Springs coming. If someone else saw Springs coming, was going to say, oh, by the end of May, Springs is going to be a regular rotation starter for the Rays. You know, slap yourself.
No, I mean, I was familiar with him, but as a reliever. Last year, he was a solid reliever, but I didn't know they were stretching him out. And he's just gotten better and better and better with each start.
Yeah, I don't know if he's I think it's definitely more of a deep league ad. I don't know what he gives you, because like you said, I like the Jody Fleming, but they just like they got. I remember when they got him for the Red Sox for like nothing. I think they just took him because he was a Red Sox. And they got him for basically nothing, and he just became one of those pitchers that the Rays do so well with. So, yeah, great call, man.
It's a good one. I love me some relievers. Well, good. So
there's another one I like. Sorry. But they bounce him up and down from the Marlins. Castano?
Oh, Daniel Castano? Yeah.
Castano, I think his name is. He gets bounced up and down more than Poteet, though. he's in the minors right now. But he'll be back. So those are two players to watch for the Marlins in deep leagues like the 30 men that we play.
Yeah. Yeah, good deal. Well, good stuff. Thank you for all the name drops. Those are some good ones. It actually makes for a good transition into the Trader's Toolkit.
What do I do? I need some help.
The Trader's.
What a tool.
You're a tool.
Toolkit.
So I want to start with some players that have recently debuted. If you guys have particular players you want to talk about, though, by all means, bring them up. But there were a bunch of call-ups lately from the likes of Alec Thomas, Adley Rutschman, Nolan Gorman, Matt Liberatore, Chris Morel, surprise name for the Cubs, Nick Allen's up with the A's. There's probably a bunch more that I'm maybe even missing. But any of those players that I've listed, are either one of you guys buying as a result of the call-up?
I mean, if you were buying Alec Thomas, I mean, you probably – I mean, I still buy him. There's nothing that has changed. There's one of those names that I'm selling, but it's not Alec Thomas.
Well, we'll talk about selling in a moment. But part of the reason that I'm surprised to hear you say that, Biscuit, is you've said multiple times on this show the absolute best time to sell a prospect is right as they're debuting. So you must be pretty impressed by Thomas if you're still potentially going after him.
I just think he's safe. I just think he is. He's going to be this regardless. Like I think he almost gets overshadowed by Corbin Carroll. And while I think Corbin Carroll is probably the better one, Alec Thomas might be. Like if I had to bet who's better, like who has a longer career, I think Alec Thomas could have a longer career. It may not have the highs of Corbin Carroll, but I think Alec is just solid, man. Like he's going to have a 12 to 15 year career, in my opinion. How good it is, I don't know, but sometimes it's just nice to have a solid guy, and I don't necessarily think it just depends on, you know, I still think you try to acquire him. I don't know if the price level's gotten insanely high as much as, say, someone like a Nolan Gorman has. So it still may be somewhat affordable for what you can get.
Yeah, how about you, Ed? Anybody on that list that you would actually go out and try to acquire?
I don't know. I mean, Thomas is pretty much unattainable, I think, at this point. He's been unattainable for a while. I mean, Morale, I liked him. I was surprised that he got called up, but, I mean, you know, it's a different year.
He's just 22. He's just 22. I like Morale a lot. My only problem with Morale is I think the time to buy is in like 2 weeks when he eventually gets sent back down. I don't know if he's up for good because he was only double A, so I could definitely see him getting optioned. I don't know how long he was up, what the reasoning was, but he's really solid, man. Like, you know, so I like Morale, but I do think maybe when he gets sent back down might be the time to buy.
Yeah, or at least settles down some. I mean, he's gotten off to a hot start.
Yeah. Right.
Tucker Davidson might be up for good now. He had a good start the other day.
Oh.
He starts tomorrow.
And favorite right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Davidson's a good call.
You know, I like those Braves pitchers. if he has another good start tomorrow, he'll likely stick with the rotation, barring anything, you know, catastrophic. He's a good pitcher.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It sounds like you guys are not on Gorman or not on Rushman.
Not at the price. It's impossible.
Piss on catchers. I'm... Okay, let me know where I can get my Gorman rant out, because I've got it ready. I've been rehearsing it in the mirror.
You guys would possibly buy Thomas if the price were right. Morel's a guy you're on. Didn't really comment on Libitor, but maybe selling Rushman and selling Gorman? Permission to vent.
Okay. I am selling Gorman, I'll let Ed come in. Here's why I'm selling Gorman. I think Gorman's hit tool is fantastic. The power is amazing. He absolutely... blew out AAA. He had a 35% K rate. 35%. And an 8% walk. If you go by history, guys who have 35% K rates in AAA, it's very hard to keep that. We talked about it before with the margin of error. I'm not saying he's a bum. I'm not saying that at all. But with the start he's had, he's been really hot for two games. It's two games. But he's really hot with what he did in AAA. If he's that, it's hard to hit 310 in the majors with a 35% K rate. That's not going to happen. It is almost impossible to keep that up. And if he keeps the 15 homer, like that kind of power, he's a 45 homer guy. He would be the first of his kind to do that, to have 35% K rate, hit 300, and have 45 homers, which is what the pace he was kind of on in AAA. I'm going to sell that and take the odds here that the average dips probably to around 250, and then the power is probably not as good. And I wonder if he struggles with the case. I would sell him at the level. I still like him, but with how great he was and how hard he is to acquire, this is where I might sell him for max ever here. So don't hate him by any means, but I do think the profile is concerning with instant. Prolonged big league success, because we've seen it with guys like Austin Riley that took a time. Jared Kelenic had a little bit of a higher K rate. Joe Adell had an insanely high K rate. We've seen how he struggled. So it's just the profile I don't love. He could prove me wrong for sure, but I'm just playing the odds here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. The one thing I will say about Gorman is that power does appear to be legit. So the league type that you're in to a degree matters. If you're in a league where you're penalized for strikeouts, I wouldn't take him for free because it's just going to kill you. But if it's more of a plus points for just positive attributes, then I might be interested because 35 bombs sounds pretty good. But I think the league does matter. And I think selling high right now with all the hype is a perfect time to do it.
Well, it's so hard to know with homers because the ball is absolutely flying out of the park in the minor leagues this year. So it's hard to know how much power, like how much of that is real. Like, it's real, but you know, 15 homers and a handful, like, that's ridiculous. So is that kind of power real, or is it a little bit of the minor league baseball they've got going on down there? So I still think he's probably a 30 homer bat, but is he more of a 40-50 guy? I don't know. If he's 40 homers plus, he's like Dan Upton,
yeah,
but better.
That's a wild comp. So we talked about some guys that recently debuted that you may or may not like. A lot of them are off to pretty strong starts. Now what I want to do is rattle off a bunch of players who have been ice cold, not necessarily debuts, but just players in general that are ice cold. And if there's anybody there that you're wanting to buy or wanting to sell, bring them up or comment on them. But these are guys like Andrew Vaughn, who I've put a lot of weight in. He hasn't done much so far. Jared Kelenic, Bryson Stott, Seth Beer, Lourdes Gurriel, Marcus Semien. My goodness, has he been atrocious. Eduardo Escobar, Randall Grichuk. We expected a lot out of him. He hasn't done much yet. Jake Cronenworth's been struggling lately. Teoscar Hernandez. Any of these players that you're maybe going to try to buy the dip, or what's your thoughts on any of these guys? Maybe start with Ed this time.
I mean, I've tried to buy Kelenic in a couple places. I still, like, I'm not a truther, but you should be able to buy him at this point. Some people are going to be giving up on him. You have, like, a future first or something. I don't know if you're in a good position to do that. Dave's probably scooping him up everywhere right now. You know how he is.
Oh, yeah. But he's not cheap anywhere. Nobody has backed off that price because they probably listen to us. But nobody has backed off.
You can't hit Major League hitting. Adele's a better hitter than him. What does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, he mashed at the lower levels, though. And I think, Hunter, your take last week was a good one. Than that, it'd be better to see him go down to Double A where he can get a little confidence back. But we'll see what they do there. But anybody else on that list that you think is a good opportunity to go get just based on how poorly they've played?
I mean, I think a lot of those are decent buys. I mean, honestly, I mean, if the price, it's all about price, right? Like, I'll buy Andrew Vaughn right now if he's cheap. You know, if the price has come down, I think Bryson Stott is a solid buy because I think the hit tool is legit. So he's going to hit at some point. So I don't think that's a terrible thing to go do. I actually like that, honestly. So I think Teoscar Hernandez has been solid. If the value on him has dipped, I think he's a solid buy. No, a lot of those guys I like that you mentioned, depending on the price point, because it's still early. You know, we're still in May. We're getting on that at that point where it goes from is it early into is it legit? But I think until you get to about June-ish for July 1st, you know, I think some of those are decent buys to kind of hope for a rebound.
Ed, anything that stands out to you?
No, I mean, Teoscar Hernandez, after the year he had last year, I feel that he should be bought. I know as long as you're on the salary league, Simeon's going to figure it out eventually, but those people that have him in the salary league right now are probably crying. What is he making, $30 million a year?
Yes. He's unrosterable right now in a salary contract league. Like, that's insane. You can't – that kills you.
I think he's a free agent in my Yahoo. Let me look. And these are just – you know, these guys are just – it's like a home league. Let's see. No, somebody owns him. Somebody's holding on hope.
Well, so you brought up Hernandez. Curious your thoughts on that. So on the year, he's batting .162, 2 home runs, 7 RBIs. So you're just thinking he's going to come back to 2021 form? That would be the thought process?
I mean, yeah.
Or some degree of?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I haven't seen too much back that. I can't back that statement, unfortunately, because he's only had – I'm looking right now. Since he hit that go-ahead home run – about a week ago, he only has like one hit. So I can't back that up with any facts. It's one of those gut feelings, maybe. He has.
I mean, he has a .214 BABIP. So when you have to hope that the BABIP gets a little better. .214. He's had a career BABIP. I think around the 300, like a .320 career BABIP. So being at .214, that's 100 points. you go to just the average, and he's around a 260 hitter, and then all of a sudden we have no issues, right? So the K rate's a little high at 31%. His career is around 29, so it's not insanely, and the walk rate's low. So while there is a little bit to be concerned about, it's just been 18 games. He missed a little time. I think it's a good time to buy. I really do.
Is there any players that I haven't listed that you guys have your eye on or recently were thinking about?
Brady Singer. Go get Brady Singer. Go get Brady Singer yesterday. Brady Singer got sent down. We thought he was going to the bullpen, and then he goes out and pitches, what, 8 innings? And now he's going scoreless right now. He was at 5, as I'm looking, he's at 5 innings. Oh, I had it. Well, I say that he's got 2 outs. He's got the bases loaded, so we'll see if he gets lit up here in a second. But he is in the top of the 6th with 0 runs. The walks are getting back up there, but he's 0. He's 3 hits, 3 walks, almost through 6 innings. The Ks aren't great, but he's got a 1.96 ERA for the year after he rolled that shutout last one. If you're looking for pitching, people gave up on Brady Singer and almost left him for dead after he got sent to the bullpen, but he went back to the minor leagues, worked on some things. He's come back. The walks will always be a little concerning, but as long as he can keep the walks where they're not just egregious, I do think that he's a solid, solid, solid buy. He got out of the inning, just in case anybody wanted to know. So
I was all ready to call it a country curse, but he got out of the inning.
No, he got out of the inning. Got out of the inning. But no, I really do, man. I think Brady Singer is a great buy. Another buy that I think you can get on now before he really takes off is Justin Steele of the Cubs. I really like Justin Steele. More in a deeper league, probably anything 14 and up, or if you do deep pitching. He had a really good start yesterday. He's down to like a 3-ish ERA. His baseball savant page is above average. It's not elite. I don't think he's a 1 or a 2, but I think he could develop into an average 3 starter. And in your deeper leagues, that's really what you want. Like, if you're in a 30 man, the goal is to go get guys like him, or like we've talked about Zimmerman and Blackburn, guys like that that you can get early and they can contribute. I think he's a really good buy. The Cubs have done a really good job developing that, like their deeper pitching targets. So which is really surprising because they've not really done a good job of that in the past. So the development staff has done a good job. I really like Justin Steele as well.
Yeah, he went 5 innings yesterday, 1 hit, 2 walks, 9 Ks. Yep. So, for sure the best start of his young career. Ed, how about you, man? Anybody you like?
You know who got a save yesterday? Matt Barnes.
Oh, I did not know that.
From the dead, even though his season's ERA is like 6. You got a save. Somebody has to grab that holding situation in Boston eventually. Yep. What's the guy's name? I'm going to butcher this dude's name. Schibler or Schiebler? Hunter, you know what I'm talking about?
I think Schreiber.
Scott?
Yeah.
The outfield? No.
John Schreiber. The guy with the mustache. John Schreiber? Is that who you're talking about?
Yes, Why does he sound like he's an extra on Friends? Like John Schreiber. that sounds like the new castmate on Saturday Night Live.
Well, no. John Schreiber. I don't know if he's even given up a run this year.
Let me see. I got his stats right here. Schreiber is 10.1 innings pitched. He's got a win, no earned, 0.48 whip, 11 Ks in 10 innings, 1 save. That's a good name, John Schreiber.
Yeah. Oh, here he is. Available in my league. Let's see. He's I thought he had.
Our guy Whitlock got worked yesterday.
I hate that.
He gave up. 4 months back. Garrett Whitlock started for the Red Sox, gave up 10 hits in 3 innings, 5 earned. Yuck.
I've gone on record that I hope he gets busted as a starter because I think Garrett Whitlock could be a much better reliever than he could be a starter for fantasy purposes. Because they do it because they need starters, but I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like his. Why mess up a good thing? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If he's an elite bullpen arm, why? Why screw up the elite bullpen arm for a hope and a prayer as a starter? This is my thing. I don't like yo-yoing guys. I think it hurts their development.
Another guy to look at. I mean, he's 44% roster, but Joey Votto just came back. He'll probably do well eventually. He's old, though. and he's a red.
He's old, but he's productive. I mean, he had a hell of a year last year. Nobody saw that coming.
Oh, yeah.
He won me a lead.
Definitely a pickup.
Nice. All right. Well, let's move on. That was Trader's Toolkit. What's going on? This is Ryan Antkowiak, host of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Do me a favor. Pull out your wallet or money clip or phone case. Give it a good inspection. If it's anything like mine, it's pretty meh. I mean, let's be honest. It's a wallet. Well, what if there was a product that blended something you love with something you need? Turns out there is. LineDriveOutfitters.com takes real baseball mitts and turns them into wallets, billfolds, money clips, clutches, and other accessories. And get this, you can get your favorite team's logo engraved or stitched right into the leather. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I grab my own mitt, I get this rush of nostalgia and it brings me right back to Little League. So let's face it, we all need to carry around our credit cards, cash, IDs, gift cards, whatever. So you might as well carry it around in something that makes you think about the thing we all love, baseball. These babies are hand-stitched, handmade, and made right here in America. Whether you're looking for a unique gift or a way to show off your love of the game, LineDriveOutfitters.com offers a wide variety of products for men and women. That's not all. They will literally make your wallet out of your own mitt. How cool is that? Do me a favor, check out LineDriveOutfitters.com or check them out on Instagram or Facebook at LineDriveOutfitters. They could be, they might be, they are a home run. All right, transitioning to deep thoughts with the Country Biscuit. I actually have two questions for you today. You have the option to pick one or the other, or if you feel so inclined, you can answer both of them.
All right.
So I'm going to rattle off both questions, and you decide where you want to go with it. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Question number one. What is the most ridiculous thing you have ever seen someone or you have done yourself? Question number two. What is the most embarrassing moment of your life?
I don't know. The most embarrassing moment.
Or what's the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen happen live?
I don't even know. Like, those are hard because I never remember those. I have a terrible memory. So, like, I never remember anything. Like my wife knows, and she takes advantage of it. Because she'd be like, you said you did this. And I'm like, no, I didn't. She goes, you wouldn't remember. You're right. Maybe I did. Like, she'll both face lie. Like, I have no idea. I guess I didn't. Because I know I don't remember nothing. Oh, most embarrassing happened probably a week ago, honestly. So, okay. I have a four-year-old, and he's potty training. We're pretty potty trained for the most part, but we're still on the wiping the butt stage. Like, you know, he ain't reaching back there and taking care of it, so we still have to do that for him. So, I come home from a long day. You know, I walk in the door. Hi, family. Here comes my four-year-old butt naked. And that's pretty normal. So, he walks in. Hi, Dad! You know, just everywhere for everybody to see. And he starts hitting me because we like to wrestle. So we start wrestling and we wrestle and we wrestle and we wrestle. And I pick him up to powerbomb him. So I pick him up, powerbomb, you know, rah. And I go over and I'm like walking around all proud. And my 15-year-old walks in and just starts dying. I have got poop smeared from my entire shoulder here all the way down. Like, I mean, just smeared because my wife, while all this is going on, just didn't be like, hey, Hunter, he went to go poop and no one's wiped him yet. No one told me. No one said. So I look at him and I mean, it's just all the way down. Like, it looks like I had like poop bomb everywhere. And I'm just, and it's this close to my face. So I just go, Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Arguably the most embarrassing thing. I'm not. If I get too embarrassed, I just don't do it. Like, if the odds are of pure embarrassment, I just opt out.
Yeah, you don't strike me as somebody that would get embarrassed very easily either.
No, I just joke about it. When you're short and fat most of your life, you get pretty good at just making jokes about it.
Okay. Good deal. You're not going to touch the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen happen?
I mean, I've seen some pretty ridiculous. I mean, I've seen. Like, I work in retail, so like, I mean, ridiculous is in the eye of the beholder. Like, I've seen people just dookie on the floor and keep walking. That's pretty.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you see stuff like that all the time. I would say I haven't seen anything crazy ridiculous. Not that I would call ridiculous. You hear stories, but no, I would say I don't really have a crazy ridiculous time.
All right. Well, I tried. You answered one out of two. I guess that's okay. There's no sense in forcing a story. That is Deep Thoughts with the Country Biscuit. All right, gentlemen. This week I published the weekly waiver wire report. Dropped that on Thursday. And Ed already gave us a whole bunch of waiver wire targets for the week. But wanted to touch base with you guys just to see if there was a player or two on that list you wanted to draw attention to or highlight. Biscuit, why don't we stay with you? Was there somebody on that list you happen to like?
So, you know, you mentioned my boy Brady Singer. I like Brady Singer, obviously. I like Ben Gamel. Ben Gamel has been a solid, like, just needed the reps, right? Because I think he was with the Mariners, the Brewers.
He was the Brewers.
Yeah, he's kind of been around, just never really got solid playing time. I think he's going to get that with the Pirates. And while he's definitely just a deep league ad, I really do like Ben Gamel. I think he's could possibly give you something down the road.
Yeah. Well, and I think it in deeper leagues, too, he plays multiple outfield positions, too. So if you actually need left field, right field, et cetera, he can help you in a few different areas. How about you, Ed? Anybody on the list that you happen to like?
I mean, Nick Pavetta, whatever.
Pavetta.
Yeah. really comes to mind. I know me and Hunter were talking about it. I mean, the dude could be an ace one day and then just throw four straight duds. I mean, if he can put it all together, I mean, some pitchers put it together around his age, and I mean, he pitched a 9-inning, one run allowed game the other day, and he's gone three straight pretty solid starts. I mean, 4 out of 5 solid starts, actually. The Red Sox don't have anybody else to throw out there anyway, so he's not in danger of losing, being traded, or anything right. else. He's there. He can give up 10 runs in the next, 5 games, and they'd still start him, so. I hope he doesn't do that, because I've cut that now. But. I mean, he's barely owned. He's owned. He would fit my criteria for good little hunting of under 15% of owned. So,
yeah, he's like a younger Martin Perez for me. Like, he's just one of those guys that always has a handful of good starts, but just never can put it together for a whole season. So, but I do like Nick Pavetta is one of those, like Ed said, he's a good waiver wire ad, and you just ride him to the wheels fall off.
Yep.
Boston's hard to pitch in, too. Like that shallow field and then the double machine and Green Monster. I mean, it's a hard park to pitch in, and, you know, a lot of people fail, and I'm hoping that he can get it.
Yeah. Well, and you brought up a good point there, Hunter, that ride him until the wheels fall off. I mean, that's why these players are on the waiver wire, right? Like, if they were no doubt draft-type players, you know, with the exception of maybe a deep prospect that pops up or something like that, that maybe is a year too early, these are not players that you would typically draft. The guy I'm going to highlight is Brendan Donovan. And to be clear, you guys know well, I hate the Cardinals, so I don't go out of my way to talk about them. But what I like about him is, Biscuit, we've talked about this a bunch. I love solid utility types, guys that play a bunch of positions like Jorge Mateo, Josh Rojas. Brendan Donovan, I think, is the next wave of that for the Cardinals. Now, since I published this on Thursday, they did call up Nolan Gorman, which could maybe put a little bit of a dent into his playing time. But so far, since Gorman's been called up, he has still played both games. And at this point, I think he's only eligible in most leagues at second base, Donovan, that is. But so far in the season, he's played shortstop 7 times. He's played third base 6 times, second base 3 times. He's even played first twice, right field once, and he's DH'd three times. So if you pick him up now while he's only eligible in one position and you hold him going into next season, he very well could give you two, three, maybe even four positions that'll help you tremendously. Through 21 games, Donovan is slashing .293, .463, .463 with one home run, five RBIs, and more walks than Ks, 11 walks to 10 Ks, nine runs and a stolen base to boot. So this is a player that I think could be very useful. And again, I think we'll get more useful as he starts to add more position eligibility on the docket there. So
well, he started at right field today and went 3-for-6. So his average is up to .319 as of today.
Okay. Yep. You are on top of
now,
it.
You know what? I really – he's not a name I paid attention to. But honestly, that's great advice because, you know, the Cardinals always have a guy. Tommy Edman was that guy 2 years ago. They always have that, you know, utility guys are just them. Like Alan Craig has been a guy before. They had a couple of those names. I love that take. And Sosa, I don't think is going to I'm not a Sosa guy. I think he's okay. But if he can, you know, displace him, they still have the DH available. I love that take.
If I had to guess, Edmund will start playing. I think Edmund will still bounce around like Donovan will, but I think Edmund will probably start playing shortstop more often.
Yep.
So, in essence, Donovan becomes Edmund in terms of playing all the different positions. Because Edmund, you're going to keep in the lineup. He's a top-tier hitter. But anyway, Donovan's a name that that has caught my eye, and frankly, I'm trying to go get anywhere I can when he's just got one position listed. So, anybody else on the list you guys want to draw attention to?
I will say a guy that I've bought before, and this honestly, he's a former Cardinal, is Brad Miller. Brad Miller is eligible everywhere, and while he is not going to give you insane batting average, he's been a cheap source of power before. He already has six homers on the year. He's a guy who can get to that almost 30 homer power. Not amazing by any stretch, but if you're in a deeper league and you're looking for somebody to kind of play around the diamond and give you some days off, Brad Miller's not a solid, cheaper ad if you're really looking for a guy to plug and play. Good matchup dependent. But first, second, third, I think short. Like he's eligible everywhere, so definitely a guy to go out and get.
Yeah, and with all the injuries
in deeper leagues, yeah, deeper leagues only.
Yeah, but with all the injuries, that's a perfect player to have on your bench. You plug him in when you have to. That's a good call.
I was going to say Josh Rojas, but he just got hit in the hand yesterday.
Yep.
And I don't even know if he's going to be. He was a good sell. Could have been a good sell high after those three home runs the other day.
Yeah, he was scorching. Right. Mm-hmm. It's true.
And he plays like a ton of spots. He plays like second, third, shortstop, outfield. He's another one of those guys.
Yep, for sure. Good deal. All right, well, let's move on to swing and mistakes.
Swing and mistakes.
Welcome to Swing and Mistakes. Each week, the Country Biscuit and I will make three predictions. With each prediction, we'll have to decide together just how risky the prediction actually is. If it's a low risk, it'll be worth a single. If it's a high risk, it'll be worth a home run, and everywhere in between. Each prediction we get right advances the runner. Each prediction we get wrong, the runner stays put, but our pride is put on blast. Each week we'll resume where we left off until the season ends, in which case we'll declare the ultimate winner. That's where you come in. Help us determine what's at stake. If I win, the Country Biscuit owes me what? Or must do what? If he wins, that won't happen. What do I do? You decide. Send your ideas to weeklystreamerpod@gmail.com. Subject line, swing and miss, and share your best idea. All right, let's get to it. Swing and miss. Takes.
Swing and miss. Takes.
Play ball.
So if you tuned into last episode, you know that Hunter had himself a week. I think you hit all three, right? Did you hit all three, or was it two out of three?
Two out of three last week.
Two out of three, but you turned a 2-0 game into a 3-2 game, put up two runs in the same inning. First time either one of us has ever done that. This week, both of us have been absolutely dreadful. I think we both went 0-for, which figures when we both made a few predictions that were considered home runs. But with Ed here to help us out, I am going to ask that you play the role that Dodger Dave has played a couple times, you umpire. I'll determine the value of each prediction. You willing to do that?
You're out.
Nice. Appreciate it. All right. So, Biscuit, you want to go first with your prediction? Again, the score is 3-2. I have a player on first. And, Biscuit, I believe you have a guy on second.
All right. My first prediction, as he just came back from the IL, Ed Fingerhut's boy, Ryan Mountcastle, is going to hit 3 home runs this week.
Ooh.
They hit 3.
You are playing to the umpire, too.
Sam.
What do you...
He's got.
God, I almost said home run.
He's gonna hit 3. Come on, man. Yeah, he's gonna hit 3.
A home run? Is that what you said?
I would say that's a home. No. I could.
It's 3 homers. That's a lot. Even in 7 games, it's 3 homers.
He's hot and cold, man. He could hit 5-6 in a week. I would give that a solid double, man.
A double. Biscuit is not happy about that.
No! Oh, I'm arguing balls and strikes over here. We're top end.
Ed's the boss, man.
Oh, God. Where's Dave? All right.
Yeah, you never thought you'd say that.
All right,
I got one for you guys. So my first prediction is that Nolan Gorman, just called up a couple days ago, is going to have more strikeouts this week than Major League Baseball leader Dylan Cease will pitch. So he will have more strikeouts batting than Cease will have pitching.
Is that even
Biscuit, you're making
is that even a lot? Like if Cease pitched twice or once?
I mean, Cease he'll give you 10 Ks most starts. So I'm saying he's going to strike out 10 times this week.
So if we think it's improbable, that'd be a home run, right?
If it's ridiculous, it would be a home run. But based on Hunter's face, he's not going to accept that
If they go 7 games and Cease pitches 110, that's just 1 strikeout a game. He had a 36% strikeout rate. God bless it, America.
1 strikeout a game? They don't play 10 games in a week, dude. They'd have 7 tops.
It's not either. I would say that's a... hold on 1 second. Give me 1 second here.
So they have 6 games this week.
Okay.
And Gorman may not play all 6 games. He might.
And how many starts does Cease have? That matters. If it's 2 starts, it's a home run.
Cease might get 2 starts. What, isn't tomorrow the 24th?
Tomorrow is the 24th. Cease is due to pitch. Let's see here.
That's a home run. Cease is going to pitch twice this week, dude.
He will pitch on the 24th and on the 1st. Is the 1st? That might be before we next record. When's the 1st? No, that's next Wednesday. He'll only get 1 start this week.
Oh. I'm going to give that a double, too. If you start them both, that's a home run, man, because that's a lot of strikeouts. But rookies strike out a lot.
I'm fair with that. I'm good with that.
All right. A double. Nolan Gorman will have more strikeouts this week than MLB pitching leader Dylan Cease will. Got it. All right. Biscuit, what do you got, man?
I have to stick with what I've been having, and we're going to go with the Reds.
Sit.
Have more wins than losses this week. The Reds are going to play the Cubs for 4 games, and they're going to play the Giants for 3.
They're playing the Giants?
More wins than losses. The Giants and the Cubs.
So, the Reds having more wins this week than losses. Since I find that highly improbable, I guess I would call that a home run.
Ooh, let's go! They're the hottest team in baseball! Let's go!
I don't believe in them.
Hottest team in baseball. You heard it here.
Hey, can I ask a question? That goes second, right? So if my first one hits, it's a 3-run homer, correct? Or it's a
2-run homer. Oh, you already have somebody on base, though.
Well, I mean, that's a fair question. I think what happens is it's not because you said it twice, but if the first one happens before the other one happens, then yes. So, for instance, if Mountcastle gets 3, but it's in the last game of the week, then the other one would have happened first.
Okay, whatever happens first. I'm fair with that. Okay.
That was the way I understood it. So
we'll find out about Gorman really quick since he starts tomorrow.
That's right. All right, so what I'm going to do here, this is a page out of Hunter's book. The Rockies play at Pittsburgh for 3 and at Washington for 4. So pretty awful pitching matchups, but away from Colorado. I'm going to predict that CJ Krohn, Connor Joe, and Randall Grichuk will all hit 2 or more home runs this week. 3 guys, 2 or more home runs each.
Grichuk has sucked.
That's a bomb for me. That's pretty good.
Yeah, because Grichuk has really sucked too. And Krohn can be hot and cold. Yeah, 3 guys to hit 2 home runs is kind of a lot. Yeah, I'm okay with a home run for that one.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
All right, Biscuit, what's your last prediction?
I'm going to say, and I only have that a player inside of the top 50 prospects will debut this week. One player in the top 50. I've got MLB up just because it's probably the most user-friendly website. One player will get his first ever call-up. I'll even go that far. It can't be a recall. It has to be first ever call-up, one player.
We might need to lean on Ed after the show to determine if they are in the top 50. That's the only thing that's tricky for me.
I'm just going to use MLB.
Okay.
Just because it's user-friendly off MLB.com. Even go if the options that are probably there could be Riley Green, Grace Rodriguez. I don't think Riley Green's healthy yet, but Grace Rodriguez, Gabriel Moreno, those kind of guys. There's still guys out there. I don't think it's a crazy prediction, but I will say one player from the top 50 debuts this week.
Okay.
I give that a triple, man.
Let's go.
There you go.
Because I think I honestly know that I had to look at the MLB. I know for a fact Nick Gonzalez and O'Neal Cruz are getting close.
That's why I didn't think it was a crazy prediction. But, I thought it was in a week, one player.
But yeah, I don't know. A week is, that's a lot. Of course, a lot of people come up, but top 50, if you said top 100, that might have been like a double or whatever. But top 50 is, that's pretty narrowing it down. There's not a ton of guys that haven't. There's a lot of guys in the top 50 on MLB that have already debuted as well. It's probably like 15 to 20 that have already even debuted already. So, yeah, I would give that a triple.
Are you suggesting that the Biscuit is smart?
Yes, he is. Yeah. I mean, because I am. What are you trying to say?
I mean, I'm not trying to say anything. I'm trying to hear what Ed's trying to say.
14 of the top 50 on this list have debuted already. So 14 of the top 50 have already debuted.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. I like it. I like it.
10 of them are probably hurt, too. So, yeah, you're probably looking at like a 30 players that can debut.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've got it down. There's about 10 to 15 that I feel like have a shot, but that's about 10.
All right, I'm going to pull a wild card here, throw a slider, whatever you want to call it, curveball, whatever. Biscuit, you're the umpire on this particular prediction. I'm going to lean on Ed's wisdom and expertise to help me with this prediction. Nick Pivetta, your boy, lines up for 2 starts this week. He's going to be going against the White Sox, and he's going against the Orioles. So I want the prediction to have something to do with Pivetta. What do you want to say for Pivetta? We could do some amount of strikeouts, how many innings he pitches. Maybe he gets a win or two. Again, at Chicago, and then at home versus Baltimore.
That's tough. He's due to come back down to earth in one of these games. So that's kind of tough. Because he just pitched 9 last time.
True. Well, the prediction could be blows up if you want to correct yourself from before.
Throw some negative magic on there.
I'm trying to think which a home run if he gets blown up at by Baltimore. I don't know.
Well, so he pitched the one thing I'm kind of rethinking this some. He pitches Tuesday, which means he probably won't get his second start in before we record. So maybe that's not such a great idea. All right, let's say this. Let's say that Pivetta will – so he's pitching against Dylan Cease. So that's a great start for him. I'm going to say he gives up no earned against the White Sox. I'm not going to go so far to say he's going to get the win and out-duel Cease, but I think he's going to step up against a great pitcher in Cease, and he's going to escape without giving up any earned runs in his outing. It might be a short outing, given the long one last time, but no earned against the White Sox.
Am I the umpire here?
You're the umpire.
Home run.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I think so too. He doesn't give it. Like, he gives even his nine-inning game doesn't give up a run.
I don't.
The White Sox in this month have only had one game where they've scored under three runs. So I'm gonna give you a home run. He is that home run.
It's a two-star week. I think he's there might be a little regression coming off his best start of the year, but I think he's got some good momentum going right now. All right, so we've got Mountcastle to hit three bombs this week for a double. We got Gorman to have more strikeouts than Cease. That's a double. We got the Reds to have more wins than losses. That's a home run. Three Rockies to hit two home runs or more. That's a home run. A top 50 prospect debuts this week. That's a triple. And Pivetta, no earned runs against the White Sox. That is a home run.
Swing and miss. Takes. Play ball.
Ed, thanks for being with us this week, man. Good to have you back. I like your new segment. I would like to incorporate that in the show a little bit more often. So you open to that?
Absolutely.
Good deal. Bargain hunting with Goodwill Hunting. I love it. All right, so we are going to close the show with Name That Player. And as we've done when we've had guests, the guest gets to go ahead and guess. So are you familiar with how this works? And Biscuit, are you ready to drop it?
Yep, I'm just getting my timer up. I've got the player here. I'm just going to make sure that I've got the – so I can answer the questions accordingly.
Why don't you let me do the timer? And okay. I will hold it up to the camera so, Ed, you can see how much time you have. So you guys let me know when you're ready to roll and we will go.
So I will say this. I'm going to say this. Because the player I picked today, just to give a little bit, has played in multiple teams. The team that I'm going to give you is the team that he is most associated with and he spent the most time with. So anytime I do one, if they played a year or two somewhere else, it's the team that they're most associated with and they spent the most time. That's the easiest.
Ed, did you have a separate question?
But as far as rules, like you're not talking about like Shoeless Joe Jackson or something, right?
It's going to be anybody that in the live ball era, so since like the 60s, but it's also a prominent player. I'm not going to give you anybody like backup third baseman on the Mariners. Like that's not going to happen.
I got it.
Abraham Toro.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You guys ready?
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
AL or NL?
NL.
Infield or outfield?
Neither. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Outfield.
Oh, well, I mean, that would have narrowed it down, right? Power hitter or contact hitter?
Neither. A little bit of both. Both.
NL East or NL Central or NL West?
NL East.
Mets or Braves?
Mets.
Steals bases or doesn't?
No-ish. He did.
Bernard Gilkey.
Who?
Bernard Gilkey.
I don't know who that is. So no. I hear you said Ron Jerky. The guy.
I don't know why the timer didn't go. We're out of time.
That was terrible. Ryan, would you like?
That was really bad. That was
Ryan.
Really bad.
Ryan, would you like 30 seconds here?
To pick up where he left off.
Yes. Would you like 30 seconds?
Sure.
All right, hold on. Let me pull my 30-second timer. Let's see if we can get it right here. All right, here we go. All right, let me pull my timer up. All right, 30 seconds. All right. Go.
Currently playing?
No.
Previous decade?
No.
2000s?
No.
Geez, 90s?
Yes, but not with the Mets.
Oh, okay. Daryl Strawberry.
Yes.
Boom!
Let's go!
Wow, I cannot believe I guessed that one right. I don't know why. I was trying to who's the power hitter that had like just the super aggressive swing? I could not think about who that was. He played for a bunch of teams.
But that's the key. What you get to play more, and the key is you get a team in the year. If you get it down to like decades, like you gotta go AL, NL, get the team, get the year, and then you just guess positions.
Ed, you did the exact same thing that I did when my first time doing it. Like, is he a power hitter or is he a contact hitter? It's like, it's just too slow. And then Hunter's like, well, does he have a dog or a cat? Like, so you got, yeah. No, but that was a total shot in the dark. Can't believe I landed that one. All right. Well, that is it for this week's episode. Thank you both very much for being on. Biscuit, of course, it's good to have you here. But Ed, the Irish, finger hug, good to have you here too, my friend. We welcome you back with open arms whenever you can be back on. Biscuit, I got to ask you, man, what is your TikTok strategy? Because every time you post something, we strike gold.
I know. I got to do it more, man. To get it. And then I'm like, I'm kind of old, so maybe I shouldn't be TikToking. Because I was going to do one the other day when I was at home. My 15-year-old was like, what are you doing? I don't know.
You should recruit him to help. He probably knows all the secrets.
I was like, I don't know, man. I'm just being me, bro. Just being me. So.
What is the handle again on TikTok?
I don't even know half time. It's the Weekly Streamer, I think, is what our TikTok is. It's at the Weekly Streamer.
Okay. We should probably know that. At the Weekly Streamer on TikTok. Ed, great having you here this week, man. Anything you're looking forward to in the week ahead, just in general or baseball-wise?
I'd like not to have to work a bunch of forced overtime at work. Outside of that, just looking forward to not getting crushed like I did this weekend.
Hey, you can't win them all. Biscuit, how about you, man? What are you looking forward to this week?
Just getting ready back into baseball. This weekend... Is it this weekend? No, next weekend, 2 weekends from now, I'll be heading up to Indianapolis to watch the Indians play. So I'm getting excited to go see them. We have a little minor league thing that me and my wife do. We try to go to as many minor league games as we can in different cities and get magnets cool. for our refrigerator. So we're going to hope to go there and possibly even a Bowling Green Hot Rods game here soon. So
nice, man. Good for you. I don't have any games lined up, and I wish I did. Got to get out to the ballpark, but. Anyway, awesome having you guys on. Appreciate it. That's it for this week's episode of the Full Count Fantasy Baseball Podcast, powered by the Weekly Streamer. He's the Country Biscuit Hunter Rakes. He's Ed the Irish Fingerhut, and I'm your host, Ryan Antkowiak. It could be, it might be, it is a home run.
You are tuned in to... You are tuned in to... You are tuned... The Full Count. Let's go!
Drives it left field. Absolutely crushed. You don't see that every night.
Let's go!
Welcome to the Full Count Fantasy Baseball.